What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. It is Friday, May 26th. Happy Friday, everybody. And we have a great show for you today. Kate Constable returns to Laying the Points. We actually talk about a recent podcast she was on, not Laying the Points, that she had a great experience on. We talk about that, a little bit about the betting industry, talk a little WNBA, talk NBA. Kate Constable is always a great guest. She eats, breathes, and sleeps sports and sports betting every single day. Always full of great sports betting insight and information, and a great guest and friend of the show. Follow her at Kate Constable. My name is Chris R. Farley, a.k.a. at Farley Betts on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Professional handicapper, 114K, and the biggest sports betting contest in the world, Circa Millions 2 years ago. Career 57% NBA winning percentage. And we bet a lot of different sports. We love this. We live for this. We have this podcast 2 times a week to give you all great guests and great sports betting insight and information to help you win more of your wagers, short-term and long-term. Not here to talk down to you, here to teach you, here to have conversations to help us all win more. And we're all growing and we're all learning. That's for sure. Really important conversation comes up when I talked to Kate Constable, and that came up in her previous podcast about the difference between real deal sports bettors and handicappers and just content creators and just everything that goes into it and how those two worlds can really intermix. I think that's an important thing for all of us to talk about, right? You do have just a lot of people coming into the already saturated marketplace of sports betting and trying to make a name for themselves and give away picks and content. And certainly not all of that content is created the same, created equally or with the same experience or expertise. Many in the industry just trying to make a living. So it's an important conversation and topic to be covered right now as the industry burgeons, explodes. A little bit about these NBA finals really quickly. Me and Kate Constable will talk about it somewhat, but man, you know, a confluence of factors is what resulted in the Celtics winning game 5. In emphatic fashion. TD Garden Center was going crazy. I feel like Joe Mazzulla now has a better handle on the series and what the Heat are trying to do. Took him a little longer, right? I mean, he's a new coach, but maybe they got there. It's on-court players, player leadership, guys stepping up, right? Guys like Marcus Smart, Derek White, Al Horford, and of course, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Playing more as a team, believing in themselves more, playing better defense, sticking to their game plan, you know, and staying in the lead, right? And of course, the Miami Heat injuries, Gabe Vincent going down, I think really hurt them too. I got a Miami Heat in 6 games ticket for plus 850. I'm hoping that cashes on Saturday. But I would not be surprised if it doesn't. I really wouldn't. Because on any one single game, right? Any one game, the Celtics, I think, are the better team, especially now without Tyler Hero and Gabe Vincent. Now, Gabe Vincent could be back. Hopefully he is for the Heat in game 6. It's in Miami, and we've seen this team respond before. They haven't lost 3 games in a row in a very long time. Jimmy Butler and a team that looked pretty defeated in the second half in Boston on Thursday night. Things are going to look different on Saturday. That's for sure. But really interesting how this series is going to shake out. And, you know, from a betting perspective, I lean to the under in game 6, but 211 is a pretty accurate number. It's pretty damn low. But with all the, you know, free throws at the end of a game like this, it could definitely still go over. So right now it's just a lean, but I think this game is going to be really contentious. The Miami Heat defense is now going to adjust again, and I think they're going to be a lot better in Miami at home. They're going to have to be. If they want a chance to win that game, I think this pace is going to drop significantly too because of how contentious it's going to be. You know, now here we go, right? Now we're getting to the end of this series, and we're going to see some pretty physical basketball, I think, which I love. Before you do anything else today, ladies and gentlemen, before Kate Constable comes in this podcast, go to BetUS Sportsbook, type in the promo code Farley125 for 125% deposit bonus. That means they're going to double your money and then some. They're going to give you even more than double your money for a first-time deposit. That supports this podcast, supports the free picks and information that we're going to keep on providing for all of you. as well as the great guests and everything that we do every single week, every single day for our audience. Support the show. Go to BetUS Sportsbook and type in Farley125 for that promo code. Appreciate you. Let's get to Kate Constable. Welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts, everybody. And today on Friday, because we're recording this on Thursday, but this is the Friday show, I'm welcoming Kate. Would you say you're the most prolific guest on Laying the Points? I think you are. I think you've been on this podcast more than anyone else.
Yeah, I think I'm the favorite guest of the podcast, right? I mean, it's going on almost 2 years. Has it been 2 years?
Yeah, we've been running this thing for almost 2 years through the Odds Breakers at first. They're branched out on my own. And this has to be probably your like 10th time on the podcast or something. But it's because of the wealth, the versatility of information and insight that you offer, Kate Constable. So
yeah, it's something great like to that. Have you back.
Yeah, and I got to give you a formal introduction. So ladies and gentlemen, follow her at Kate Constable on Twitter. She is sports betting analyst and host over there at BetQL. And I mean, I know, because I know you well, you're a friend of the podcast and a friend of mine as well. I know that you're just churning out content constantly. I see you in the morning, see videos on your timeline all the time. So you're a working girly these days, and things are going well over there at BetQL, right? How long have you been over there?
I've been over there probably, what is it, like 6 months now? It started around Thanksgiving.
I feel like you're becoming the face of BetQL. Is that too much to say?
That's a little too much to say. Yeah. That's okay, a little too much. A little aggressive. But it's been good. They're a great company to work for. Great people. We have fun. I just started a new show on Saturdays. Little plug here. 4 to 7 Eastern on the BetQL Network. Myself and Cam Smith, who's awesome. Hosts, it's called The Better Angle. So check that out Saturdays. And then, yeah, a bunch of stuff throughout the week. Writing, you know, analysis, picks like that. Giving out some videos, all of that jazz.
So I was just going to create I don't know if there's a real segue here, but I'm just going to create a segue anyway. Speaking of what you do over there at BetQL as a sports betting analyst, as somebody who creates a lot of content, I saw, and I'm sure many of our listeners also heard it. What, you got a lot of noises going on over there?
Can you hear this obnoxious noise?
No.
Okay. Well, then keep on going.
It's like I can hear maybe a tiny little like toothbrush drill in the background, but it's nothing that.
Okay, because we've got a full blown drill going into the side of the building right now. So I apologize if it gets a little noisy, but continue on. I'm glad you can't hear.
Yeah, I mean, the consummate professional though, I expect you to be laser focused and to not be distracted at all. Is that something I can count on?
Yes, it is. Of course. Always.
All right. But I saw that you went, I was going to say, I'm sure that many of our audience saw as well. But you went on Spanky's podcast, Be Better Betters. And first of all, I just want to say, I thought that you really like held yourself well on that podcast. You were just fantastic on it. And I think that you speak from the perspective of what a lot of people who are approaching sports betting and, you know, analyzing sports and sports betting on a daily basis, speaking from their perspective, because in this industry of sports betting, right, there's, I think it's important to delineate between like real deal, like sports bettors who are, right, this is what they do, this is how they make money, and then sports betting or sports content providers. Talk a little bit about the difference and just your experience on that podcast, because I think it was really great.
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome for Spanky to have me on and to have a solid, honest conversation with him. I think we both left that podcast with a little bit more respect for one another and what each other do. I just think that there's a disconnect between the professional sports bettor like Spanky, who's been successful and has been able to build a career off of sports betting, and then someone like myself who talks about sports betting. Like, those are two completely different worlds. And there are a ton of people who claim to be professional sports bettors and give out picks and sell picks and things like that that aren't actually winners. But a lot of people in the media, that's not what necessarily they're trying to do. I mean, we're trying to give out information to help the average bettor make a more informed pick. So, I mean, my target audience is maybe the guy who's going to the Bulls game tonight and wants to make it a little bit more exciting and have some action on the game. So they don't really know what to look for in the market. So maybe they'll come over to BetQL. Maybe they'll watch, you know, one of my videos or two and kind of just see which way I'm leaning and how I'm looking at the game or thinking about it. And maybe that they'll be able to, you know, make $50 to buy the beers at the game that night. So like, that's the type of content is a lot of these media personalities is we don't take ourselves as seriously as some people probably think that we do in terms of like how great we are at sports betting. We're just trying to have fun with it. And I mean, if there's a way that I can make content on the internet a little bit more fun or exciting when talking about sports betting, like that's my goal at the end of the day. It's not to claim that I'm this fantastic winning sports bettor that's gonna win you millions of dollars. Like, no, that's not the case at all. So yeah, I mean, it was a really good conversation. I feel like it's kind of sparked a little debate on Twitter and everyone's weighing in, and you're starting to, you know, see people understand the media aspect of the sports betting world a little bit more.
Yeah, and I got to say, I always hate some of the comments that come at us, you know, stuff like that. We don't have to focus on those, right? But of course, there's people that contribute right away to those conversations, and they just say the shittiest things. but I love what you said, because I think it's really important to make that delineation in terms of, I mean, I know that when you're trying to produce content on a daily basis, right? Like, I'm trying to get sponsors on my website, right, on this podcast. One of the ways that you do that is you grow your brand, right? So mm-hmm. I'm on TikTok more, but things like that, it kind of interferes with like real sports betting and real sports handicapping, because from a content creator and a, you know, just like a sports betting analyst on a show, you have to talk about something, right? Yeah. Like, you may not have a bet, you may not, you know, have something that you're investing in much that night, but you still have to talk about the sports that are on that day, talk about maybe some leans or some things you're looking into that sport. And I think there's a real difference, right? Because audiences across the country, obviously now sports betting is becoming more and more legalized. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for insights. They're looking for information. They're looking for someone to bring them up to speed so they can make a more informed decision. That's what you do. And that's what they do at BetQL really well. And I've been partnering with you for a long time. So I also saw you go on the BetUS NBA show and go, you know, neck to neck with pro handicappers. So you're pretty good at this too, K Constable. Can't sell yourself short, for sure. You are a winning bettor. At the same time, there's a difference, right, between those guys and girls who are waking up and they're combing through lines, and their whole life and their professional, their finances really are probably backed up by their actual bets. That's different than just creating content. And just, you know, not that one is, you know, smaller than the other or less important than the other, right? But they're not focused on creating content. They're not going to push out plays or push out information if they don't necessarily want to execute that bet. And I think a lot of times when you see pro bettors, you know, in that position, the Spankies of the world, they're betting considerable amounts of money on those wagers as well too, right? So there's just a whole different dynamic, a whole different tone as far as the seriousness goes. But I do also, you know, hear what Spanky's saying, and you know, I'm glad that there's folks out there in the industry that are trying to teach the tactics that have worked, you know, for decades, right? Because he does know what he's talking about, right? And we should all, you know, listen to the years of experience that handicappers, or excuse me, sports bettors, pro bettors like him have. But I just thought that it was awesome that you went on that podcast, Kate, and I think you spoke so well, and I think, you know, maybe we can all grow and, you know, mature from having those conversations a little bit more.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, I don't want to sell myself short either in terms of like my knowledge in how to look at games, but it's not at the level of professional bettors, and it's probably never going to get to that level. And I'm totally okay with that, because I am not putting the type of money down that professional bettors are. And I know they're putting down quite a bit. So I almost think of it as like two completely different worlds with a minor cross. It's like one of those Venn diagram things, right? Like the circle. Is that what those were back in the day? You have the two circles that like intersect in the middle, and it's just a very small margin in the middle. Right? Is that a Venn diagram?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. So on one side, you have the media aspect of it. On the other side, you have the professional aspect of it. And then they meet in the middle because it's the same topic, but two completely different approaches to it. So neither is right or wrong, just different worlds.
100%. And you see that. I think we could easily compare it to, and we won't prolong this conversation too much, but I think you can easily compare it to poker or blackjack or any kind of gambling thing or activity that we do. There are professionals. You know, there are people who know all the ins and outs and all the rules and, you know, how to get an advantage in every situation and all the edges. And they're probably not producing a lot of content, right? But there are people on that side of the aisle who also produce a lot of content about that or just try to guide you toward more wins. So you do a great job over there at BetQL. It was awesome listening to you on that podcast. And let's talk about some sports because you're somebody who ingests and talks about sports every single day. How about the NBA Finals, Kate Constable? What are you thinking about these Celtics and Heat? Because the Celtics, when they were an underdog, finally, they finally got their first win in Game 4. Now they're back to being a big favorite. This line is reminiscent of Game 1, where the Heat were 9-point underdogs. Now they're 8-point underdogs going back to the TD Garden Center. The Heat have won every time they've been an underdog. Game 5 and moving forward. Now this, again, this podcast is being produced on Thursday, so everyone's going to know the results when we talk about it, but do you think this game, this series is going to go beyond game five?
I don't. I think the Heat win tonight. I mean, the Celtics, they unlocked a little something, having success, finally knocking down some shots and playing with a little bit more heart and energy, but I don't see, and I mean, if you look at game four, really, they only played well in the second half. So we're looking at one half of basketball, of great basketball from Boston in this series. We're in the last couple of games where Miami otherwise has dominated them pretty well. So one half doesn't all of a sudden flip me and change me from thinking that Miami can get this done. I mean, Jimmy Butler as an underdog on the road too. They won the first two games outright as heavy underdogs on the road. And, I mean, in this scenario, it's kind of, I mean, whoever is more mentally tough is likely going to be the team that wins. And I think I would say that the Heat are more mentally tough. And if Boston gets themselves in a scenario where they're down and have to kind of climb back in, who's to say that they're not going to completely throw in the towel like we saw them do in the first three games of the series? So I don't necessarily trust Boston's mentality is probably not the right word, but you know what I mean? I don't trust Boston as like a cohesive unit where like the Heat, that we talk about culture, like Boston just doesn't have that same culture in terms of being able to show up in massive moments like that. If, you know, shots aren't falling, how do they stay in a game otherwise? That type of thing.
Yeah, there's definitely a difference there. I mean, I think one of the bigger reasons why this series has been lopsided is because of those intangibles of leadership, you know, when you watch
leadership,
the Celtics,
that's the word I was looking for.
When you watch the Celtics, nobody steps up, you know, and like Marcus Smart kind of did in that last game. Apparently, when there was 5 minutes left, like he sat in the coach's chair and he was kind of barking at everybody because they know, right? Like they were sort of letting the Heat come back a few times. They were it was less than a double digit deficit, easier for me to say, at one point down the stretch. But, you know, Marcus Smart taking a little bit of a leadership role, I would think he would be the guy to do that for Boston because he's kind of, you know, kind of has like the biggest moxie out there.
Yeah.
But you know, Tatum's supposed to be the guy, Jaylen Brown's supposed to be number two or like a pseudo guy. And I just don't see them as like on-court leaders. You know, they're great talents, but on-court leaders, I think every team needs it. I think Boston is still searching for it. As of Friday, we shall know the results of game five, but let's assume, let me ask you this question. Which team do you think is a tougher matchup for the Denver Nuggets? Because right now, the Denver Nuggets, they're getting a full week plus off. They smoked the Lakers. I mean, 4-0. We've seen how they can play at home. They're going to have home court advantage again. Do either the Heat or Celtics have a shot against Denver?
Well, I think if the Celtics have a shot, it's because of their talent. Because when the Celtics are playing really well and are clicking, they're extremely tough to beat. So talent wise, I think the Celtics probably match up better with the Nuggets, but if you're talking about the intangibles, and I think those matter so much more in the playoffs than regular season, especially in the finals, then Miami has the better matchup with Denver from that aspect. Because what I like about Denver and what I think that's allowed them to be successful is there's so much selflessness on that team. I mean, anyone, any night steps up. I mean, when Jamal Murray had 30 in the first half of what, game three against the Lakers, Jokic was nowhere to be found because he was letting Murray run the show and totally fine with that. Second half, now Murray's a little cold. Jokic has to step up. So they have a very good chemistry. They have leadership. They like each other, all of those aspects. And I see that same stuff from the Heat too. So culture wise, the Heat probably are the tougher team in terms of what they're able to give the Nuggets, but talent wise, I think, the Celtics are probably the better team. And well, I don't know. We'll see kind of how this series finishes with Miami shooting. Cause all postseason, they've been shooting what, like 48% from three. All of a sudden, they shoot like 25% in game four. So, if that all of a sudden trends down and their shooting kind of regresses back to where it was during the regular season, then that's not going to be good for them against this Nuggets team.
Yeah, I think either team we see on the, in the Eastern Conference, I'm going to be looking for overs in that series because I think both teams are going to have to be chasing after Denver. You know, it. These series initiate in Denver where they can just run amok, you know, and then they kind of set the standard for the whole series offensively. And we know how potent they could be at home. But, yeah, agree with you. I mean, the Heat are just going to be more well-positioned as far as that experience, right, leadership on the court. Someone like Bam Adebayo has been playing really great basketball on both sides of the court. And it's somewhat surprising because I think he's been pretty inconsistent, you know, but they all kind of step up in the playoffs. Tyler Hero too could be coming back for the NBA Finals, you know, assuming that the Heat make it, and that would be a big uptick for the Heat, who, you know, Gabe Vincent is a little banged up right now in his ankle, so we'll see. You know, don't want to put the cart before the horse, but I kind of hope we get a Heat Nugget series because there was some animosity during the regular season, if you remember that. You know, Jimmy Butler telling them, you know, see you after the game outside the stadium.
Was that early this season?
I think it was. I think it was kind of early in the season. I forget exactly when it was, but there's, you know, there's not going to be no love lost in the NBA Finals. All right, let's talk about the WNBA now, Kate Constable. And I got to admit, I'm not very well versed yet in what to expect this WNBA season. You know, NBA season's ending, and baseball, UFC, et cetera. I'm going to be in full gear with the WNBA soon. But I know you've been talking about it. I know you've been betting on it a little bit. So let me just ask you this question. What are some storylines and just, you know, general expectations you have for this season in the WNBA? Who do you like? Who do you not like? And just some other things that bettors should know about heading into the season.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun WNBA season because we have two super teams, basically. I mean, this is like the Nets with Harden and Kyrie and KD. And hopefully for the Aces and Liberty, it turns out a little bit better for them, which I think it will. So those are the two teams that are favored right now. I mean, you look at the Aces. They won the championship last year. They returned pretty much everyone this year, and also brought in Candace Parker, who's one of the best women's basketball players of all time. So their roster is absolutely stacked. Their offense is unbelievable. They're going to be putting up a ton of points in games. 104 in their first game against the Storm. And yes, it was the Storm, who are not good. That's another kind of storyline to watch out is, you know, they lost Sue Bird. She retired. Brianna Stewart is now over with the Liberty, the other super team. So the Storm is probably going to have a down year. But Aces, I mean, a lot of what I'm going to look for in their games this year is their totals and team totals and kind of trying to isolate those in a sense because they are a team that can put up a ton of points and has so much offensive firepower. The Liberty, also going to be so good this year. And I think if you like the Liberty to, you know, win at all, I think maybe you wait a little bit and see kind of how their start goes because they are fairly, their roster is fairly new. So building some chemistry on the floor is going to take a little while for them. Again, brought over Brianna Stewart from the Storm, Courtney Vandersloot from the Sky, and then Jonquel Jones from the Sun. And Jonquil Jones is a former MVP, runner-up for finals, you know, lost in the finals two seasons. So this team is absolutely stacked as well. And then you have kind of the second tier. You have Suns and Mystic. I think both of those teams, if you want a long shot to win the title, those would be the two that I would look at. And it's kind of crazy to say a long shot because they are the third and fourth best teams in the league. But with how stacked the Aces and Liberty are, their odds to win it all are pretty low. So, or pretty high, rather. Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of heavy, top heavy. And then once you get towards the bottom, bottom teams are not very good at all. So maybe try fading those teams and focus in a little bit more on the top teams in the league.
Now, a few questions. Does Brittany Griner's return, is that what kind of makes Phoenix more formidable? Or are they still, you think they're still going to suck?
No, I think they'll be better this year. And yes, because of Griner's return, but they also had chemistry issues and internal issues last year that affected them on the court. I mean, you had Skylar Diggins-Smith, who was yelling at Diana Taurasi. Taurasi didn't get along with the head coach. Head coach's first year as a head coach, Vanessa Nygaard. And a lot of that was, you know, they were missing Brittany Griner and going through all of that, of her detainment and just the external factors that that brought to the floor. Some injuries that they dealt with. I think they're going to be a better team this year. It might take them a little while, but, and because Shea Petty is still not back from her Achilles tear. Skylar Diggins-Smith, I want to say she's pregnant maybe, or had a baby, or is going to be coming back at some point in the season, but she's not here right now to start. So maybe a little bit of a rough go early on for the Mercury, but I think that they can get it together and be a better team than they were last year.
You mean that one player is not going to play when she's pregnant? Like, wow.
Yeah, what are we doing here?
What are we doing here? You know, you got to play through injuries. You got to play through bodies. Right?
My gosh.
Yeah, definitely an area that I shouldn't comment on. So let me ask you this too, because I know in the NBA, this is something that I look for, and I feel like WNBA might be similar. Season starts out, you know, these teams just like starting to gel, right? We got super teams like the Aces, like the Liberty. Do you look for more overs at the start of the season? Like, does defense start to get more, you know, stifling as the season goes on and towards the end of the season, like we see in the NBA? Have you seen any kind of narratives like that bettors can look for?
Yeah, I think it does. And also what I mean is different from the WNBA and the NBA is that there's only 12 teams in the WNBA. So towards the end of the season, you've seen each other quite a bit. You know each other's tendencies. So there defensively already, you kind of have an edge. So yeah, I think to start the season, overs maybe a little bit more prevalent. Teams are just kind of trying to feel each other out, get their rhythm offensively and kind of the flow in their offense going. So yeah, more overs early on, unders later in the season, just because of that familiarity. I mean, it's almost kind of like in the playoffs when you see a team up to seven times, you know what they're going to do. So you're better equipped to slow them down, you know, take things away. And with a smaller number of teams in the league, that's likely to happen.
Man. Yeah. I mean, how many times do teams in the same conference face each other? We're talking like,
I don't know off the top of my head.
Six times, probably something. I mean, it must be
probably quite a few. Yeah.
Yeah, because seasons spans until August, or is it September?
I want to say the playoffs are in September.
Yeah. Okay. But clearly,
wow, you put me on the spot with all these technical questions that I don't know the answer to, but I should.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're all learning as an audience here.
Yeah.
WNBA, first time I bet it last summer, 1-8 units, nice and easy. But I'm planning on tackling it a little more this summer, you know, with some tennis and, you know, some baseballs and UFC, some stuff sprinkled in there, maybe a little bit of soccer. But yeah, that's all good information, Kay. Do you have any who would be your favorite to win it all?
I think the Liberty can win it all this year. I just think that all areas on the floor, they have so much talent, and not to say that the Aces don't, but it is hard to repeat. And that would kind of be my only knock against the Aces is that, I mean, that hasn't been done since the Sparks in, what was it, 2001, 2002. So it's just a extremely hard thing to do. If you want someone that's maybe a little bit more, presents better odds, I would look towards the Mystic or the Sun again. The Sun have actually looked very good early on this season. And part of, you know, maybe why they're sitting where they are is they lost Jonquel Jones. But Breonna Jones, it was the sixth woman of the year last year. She would have started on any other team except the Sun with Jonquel Jones. So she came off the bench, was Jones's backup, was Jonquel Jones, JJ's backup, because they're both Joneses. You know, I don't want people to get confused. So Breonna Jones now in the starting lineup. That's not a whole big of a drop off from Jonquel. So the Sun would probably be the team that outside of the Liberty or Aces I would look towards.
I'm sure you get some much better value, Benny, on that. Let's actually do that right here live on Laying the Points. Yeah, you got like the Sun
14-1
plus 2,200. Yeah. For the Sun to win it all. Liberty are just plus 150 and Aces plus 120.
Now, yeah, this is so you're draft not getting, yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, look at those, man. Lynx, Fever. I guess we can forget about the Sky, Lynx, Storm, and Fever, huh? They're not going to bring much to the table.
No. I think the Fever are going to be better than they were last year. Fever were pretty bad last year. They had a ton of really young players. And so a lot of those players are, you know, in their second or third year, kind of started to figure things out. So Fever are actually a team I'm going to look towards because I think they're going to be a little bit undervalued early on in the season.
Love it. Okay, now you said I can't ask you about the Bears just yet. How about, let me just throw one more mystery question at you. How about Iowa basketball? Are y'all going to be back? Are you going to be back in the title? That was some good TV, you know, whenever that was on, in the midst of March Madness and all that. Are your Hawkeyes going to be back in the women's final?
Oh, the women's. Yeah, they are. Caitlin Clark's coming back. Hell yeah. As long as Caitlin Clark is on the floor, Iowa's going to be pretty good.
TV, Caitlin Clark.
Yeah. And I think we've got like a great rivalry now between LSU and Angel Gray. I think that's her name. And Haley Van Lith. Van Lith is now at LSU, and she's the one that Caitlin Clark said, "Shut up, you're down 15 to." She played for Louisville last year, so now you've got two players on Louisville's or on LSU's team that have had beef with Caitlin Clark. So I don't know if they play each other this upcoming season or what their non-conference schedule looks like, but those are going to be two pretty fun teams to watch.
Yeah, I hope it's a rematch of Iowa and LSU. That was really good basketball.
As long as Iowa wins this time.
Yeah, as long as they win this time. But now they're loaded. And isn't it kind of interesting? So a lot of these girls don't – like they certainly don't care about rushing to the WNBA, right, because they're getting all kinds of deals in college probably might be getting paid more, right?
Getting paid significantly more in college than they would in the WNBA, which is a crazy, just crazy world we live in these days, that's the reality. But I mean, Caitlin Clark is pulling in millions with the deals, NIL deals that she has. So if I were her, I'd stay as long as I could. And Iowa City is a pretty fun place to go to school.
So I've heard. You'd be able to testify to that. Kate Constable, always a pleasure having you on Laying the Points. It always flies by, too. Where can our audience find you?
They already know, Kate,
but where can they find you?
Twitter and TikTok, doing a little bit of that. I mean, you and I are both trying to up our TikTok game. You know, when you're old and in your 30s and not like a Gen Z, XYZ, whatever they are these days, TikTok is a little bit different game. But you can find me on Twitter and TikTok, at Kate Constable. You can also catch me on the BetQL network over at BetQL.com. Saturdays, 4 to 7 p.m. Eastern, the better angle on the BetQL network. So plenty of places to get my content.
She's everywhere. Makes a damn good pancake, too, must say.
Hell yeah, we do. Kodiak Michael makes pancakes. Them right now.
Protein. You know, we ate those same pancakes when we were trying to cut for my wedding, our wedding. Kodiak, damn good snack. It's really good.
They're so good. They're so good.
But they're not bad for you.
No, put a little egg white in there instead of water. Yeah. You get a little bit more protein.
You put like do you use real syrup afterwards?
No, I don't.
Yeah, see, yeah.
I use the fake syrup that's like zero calorie. But after having it, like it tastes like normal syrup to me now. So I don't feel like I'm missing out, and that's why I do a little whipped cream because you know then it's very satiating. You feel like getting a little treat. I go through a can of whipped cream like a week.
Satiating. Bad. Big words. Yeah.
Satiating. Well, yeah.
Yeah. That's where I get in trouble, though. I use Kodiak pancakes and I put a gallon of syrup on it. It's like, what's the point? Yeah.
Can't do that. No.
Kate, always great having you on. I'm sure we're going to see you again around the corner because that's what we do.
Sounds good. Thanks, Chris.
Okay. Bye.